All right, good morning and welcome to the show. If you've just woken up or maybe you are on your way to work already, you've got lots to do today. Good. We need productivity. Our president is reporting in at the White House this morning, morning American time, so it'll be this afternoon South African time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's been an international meeting for a South African leader since Nelson Mandela that's been this important.
Yeah, this is big.
Like, because we've always kind of been ignored. I even heard journalists saying yesterday, you know, why does Trump give a damn about little old South Africa? Most Americans just think of safaris when they think of us. Mm. So it's great to be in the spotlight. Let's hope it's for the right reasons. That's all.
I think what we just wanted to...
Oh, Alan Ford is here, by the way. Someone asked here...
Good morning. How you doing?
Someone says, please tell us who Alan Ford is and why we need to listen to his opinion. This is Durban Dope. So Alan Ford is a producer of television shows. He is a public personality. He's been in the media business as long as I have, if not longer. We've worked together for years.
Talk show hosts together, yeah.
Al's always got very funny stories.
And that person's from Durban.
Well, he calls himself Durban Dope.
Durban Dope.
Do you want to say something, Tim?
No, it's just, how's it? How are you doing? Are you?
Jesus Christ. Is that you, Alan?
that's the one I did now. Now
there's Alan Ford. You want to know who Alan Ford is? That's him.
But look at this one.
Who are you dressed as there? The Queen of Hearts.
That's the Queen of Hearts. Yeah. But look at this one. Look, this is the one that I borrowed Nolene's stuff. Seriously, that's all. That's Nolene's weave.
That's Alan Ford.
That weave was on Three Talk.
My God.
That weave was on Three Talk.
Wow, Al.
And that was her shirt. And that I'm a pretty girl.
You look like Meghan Markle, just a bit fatter.
A bit fatter, yeah.
All right, so there we go. That's who Alan Ford is, and he's our guest this morning. Yeah, and we're talking about all kinds of shit today.
And if you've just joined, we were talking about drag. Someone said, do I dress up? I've done it twice in my life, and I just happen to have the photos, yeah.
So someone here, Slippery Pickle, says if John Steenhuisen was ever president, he'd be a sitting president and not a standing one. John Steenhuisen could do with some tips on how to lose weight.
Can I just tell you? Do you know that my watch just went? I just got this. Last time I had a watch, I was 11 years old.
Why are you wearing that watch?
Because for exercise, for dieting.
Oh, is it a fitness tracker?
Yeah, correct. And it just said, my watch said to me right now, it's time to stand. have you ever had these watches before? Time to stand.
Oh, really? So stand then.
No, I don't want to.
You've got to do what it tells you to.
So I've got to push the button to say, listen. No.
Carl DeSantos says, Durban Dope, catch a fucking wake up. This is the show's favorite gay.
Thank you.
There we go. Yes. That's all we needed to say.
It's a hey gay day.
Hey gay day.
Yeah.
Queen of Tarts, says Vyasin. Not Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Tarts, yeah.
Okay.
I think I've played the game. Yeah.
Ellen in drag looks like one of those Afrikaans refugees.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That is pretty. That is pretty, pretty stuff. If I went there, I look good. I look good. Come on.
All right.
You've got to earn it. But
no, hang on. You left us in a cliffhanger just now.
Yes.
People think you're a name dropper, but you've actually met tons of people.
So yeah,
you've got stories about... I mean, you posted a picture the other day of you with Bono, which I remember. Yeah, I didn't know you knew the Guptas.
So this is a very interesting story, okay? And so let me tell you what happens.
Tawa says, I would do Alan, just by the way.
Oh, Tawa, thanks, bro.
All right, carry on.
If I didn't have a boyfriend, I'd do you back.
All right, go on.
Let's move
Guptas.
On. Okay, so what happened was, Guptas arrived in South Africa, they got Safari computers.
Yes.
Krishna Naka, mutual friend of ours. Sahara computers. Okay. And they are going to sponsor the T, one of the T, I get so confused
cricket.
By the T, the crickets, yeah. Is it the T25, T30, I'm so confused. Go back 20 when they first came here. So they rented out a nationwide airplane and got Krishna to... about a whole bunch of us, you were probably invited at the time, but you hate things like this, to go along to Cape Town, to go and to go to watch the cricket game, stay at the then Arabella Sherrington, which is now the West Inn, in this fancy, beautiful hotel. So Danny Kaye was there, Vanessa Carrera, Leanne and Danny were together at the time, Leanne Liebenberg. A whole bunch of us went, okay? Seriously, to go and watch the cricket. I took my brother along. It was And then they brought Bollywood stars in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then what happened was I sat with and chatted with the Guptas, and they asked me, and I had a meeting at
Did you know who they were?
No, remember, they weren't the Guptas. They were just three South African, Indian businessmen who'd come to South Africa,
right,
who wanted inroads within the various...
Atul and Rajesh and...
Yeah. They wanted to meet the South African movers and shakers.
Sure.
Edith Fenter. You know, that's who they wanted to meet. And so at that particular time, I had just started my production company. And they asked me if I would come and do... They wanted a documentary done on their poor family, where they came from in India.
Right.
And what they've done with this brand, Sahara brand, which is now sponsoring the cricket, this cricket team. I think it was South African cricket team they were sponsoring.
Okay.
And they brought all these Shwara Rai and all these people who came from India. So I went to see them, and I put this great documentary series together on their family. I've been quite impressed by these guys. And I quoted them for 250,000 rand because I had to go to India and we had to film in
India.
Sure. And
that's quite reasonable.
Yeah, quite reasonable. It was a while ago, but it really was reasonable, I promise you.
Yeah.
You could never get cheaper. And they said, I'm too expensive.
Wow. And they wanted to drive you down.
It was like the gods, okay? Or it was like God. It was like saying, I'm going to literally get this rejection deal is going to come your way, because I think I would have got involved with these people. I could have got caught up in all that mayhem and filth and that rubbish, because they are a bunch of rubbish.
So, Al, you were rejected by the Guptas because you were too expensive.
I was too expensive. And which is quite insulting, because you think nowadays what they did, and they paid billions But they were grob. A lovely Jewish word. They were grob, and they were ugh, and they were. I'll never forget, the event started with the dinner after this whole day of traveling. Only started at 11 o'clock that night, and we're thinking how rude these people were. We were all irritated. We were so drunk, all of us at the time. David from Igoli.
Don't remember.
David Flock. He was with us. We all met the Guptas before the Guptas were the Guptas.
Okay. Now, you said another thing that you're going to be doing this year is you're going to go and see – you're going to three concerts of like
– So let me tell you what happened. Okay. So I was – I've always been interested – you know, because like a lot of guys would say like, how's it Alanis? So I got loved this artist, Alanis.
Who says that?
Like, my mother will say Alanis. She's just being funny, like, you know.
Oh, because your name is Alan.
Alan, yeah.
Oh, Alanis. Okay. But Alanis. We all know Alanis Morissette.
Alanis, yeah. So, and Alanis was named after her father, Alan.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I thought you just had
a stroke or something,
No.
He was. Didn't you guys hear that? He was going around with it sounded like you were having a stroke.
And I had an operation in 25 years ago, and the anaesthetist was playing Thank You.
Yeah, great song.
By Alanis Morissette.
Lovely song.
And it's gratitude, and it's a great, and I went under for this big major operation.
To that song.
And I've always wanted to go and see her. So I said to Rianne, my partner, I said, I want to see Alanis Morissette. She's from Canada. She's probably touring Canada. I've never been to Canada. Let's go to Canada. And then we found out, no, guess what? She's going to be at a Belfast festival in Ireland. Okay, so this is so cool. So I'm going to Ireland next month to go and see Alanis Morissette.
Okay. I'm very glad, by the way, that when you were going under into anesthetic with this big operation, you weren't listening to her other song, You Oughta Know, because then you would have had a terrible time.
Yeah, or isn't it ironic?
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, it's...
Yeah. It's not all happy and grateful and lovely.
But
I think she'd be amazing to
watch.
She's
amazing to go.
She came to South Africa years ago.
Did she?
Yeah.
I missed that.
I don't think I got to see her, but most people who grew up in the late 90s will know her music well.
Mm.
And she was one of those breakout solo female
artists. Indie rock.
Yeah. of that time. There were a few of them. You know, it was her. There was Joan Osborne.
Yeah.
There were a couple of really good singer-songwriters.
So who else is at this festival?
Who else?
2 days before her, Justin Timberlake. And I mean...
It's the has-been festival, huh?
If I was out, I would have had pictures of Justin in my room. You know, like you...
When you were younger.
When I was younger, because I wasn't out. But so I thought, well, let's go and see Justin Timberlake.
All right.
Then we've got lots of great friends.
So now you've got 2 days there instead of just Alanis.
So Belfasting.
Okay.
Then Rian said, well, it's the Nederlands 750th birthday. We should also pop into Holland. But they said, do you know everything's going to be orange? It's going to be great. That whole Amsterdam, the Amstel River is going to be great. Yeah. So then we thought we'll do that. And then Gareth, we thought we'd go to Gay Pride in London.
Of course, you'd have to.
No, not because
don't
of
you have a platinum invitation to Gay Pride in London?
No, but there's something great about the sales in London are incredible, by the way. So clothes shopping. So we want to go to London, and guess who is in London?
Who?
It's her last show with the London Philharmonic Orchestra
at PJ Powers?
At O2.
Who?
Diana Ross.
Oh, okay.
At 81 years. At 81 years old.
She's 81.
Did you see her? Did you? If you can, if the guys, can you find a photo of Diana Ross at the Met Gala? Just go have a look. Go have a look at how great she looks.
81,
She's 81 years old. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river. And you know, you catch
them
now.
You're excited about that.
Because they're close to God.
No, of course she hasn't. You know, she's had a good innings.
The bucket's close. We're not going to kick it yet. But
so, I remember.
So it's good to see this.
There was a concert that they got her out here at the Dome.
You and
I remember standing there. She was on late, and I think a lot of people had gone home because it was like a charity dinner or something.
You remember, I got us the table. We were. Right. It was you, myself, Nolene,
and then
Rina,
and then There were only a few people left towards the end, and Diana Ross kind of dragged herself out on stage.
Oh.
And she still sings.
She's Motown.
But it was wild. There were so few people left watching her.
So,
and I thought, this is one of the greatest singers of all time. You know, from the days of the Supremes.
Dreamgirls, the whole musical.
I wonder how she's going to be at 81, though.
Do you know what?
Have you got that picture, guys?
Find that picture. Find that picture from Diana. She is just, she is fantastic. She's got it. I watched an interview with her. She's got it. And we had her on Nolene's show.
Really?
Yeah. And we had to film her. It was very interesting.
She came into studio?
Came into studio. But none of it, Nolene could be on a close-up. She couldn't be in a close-up.
Oh, really? There were rules?
There were rules. Everything had to be on a wide. But she was fantastic. She thinks that she had wrinkles. She really didn't.
Yeah.
You know...
God.
That was her at the Met Gala, nah.
In the words of the 20-year-olds, Elle, that's a bit extra, hey?
But can I be honest with you? Do you know how heavy that dress is? At 81 years old, to walk with that.
Well, she might have had mechanical help.
Well, there's nothing under there. But
are you sure?
Now, if you do,
you can hide a city under
that
thing.
If they can find a picture
thing.
Of the close-up of her face, you can see how good this woman is. And that is why there is nothing more beautiful than black women getting older, because they do not age. Black does not crack.
Individual thing.
My Winnie Mandela looked magnificent at 80 years old. So
how do you think you're going to look at 80 years old? Are you going to ever go for like plastic surgery or hair transplants?
Do you know what I did last year? I went for Botox.
Oh, you did?
Okay. And they put the needles in my whole face. Did this. I looked mean. I looked like I was frowning.
Did you look mean?
And I didn't tell anyone. So
did you lose business because people thought you were mean?
My brother said to me, why are you so gross? I'm not gross. But
so you're not doing that again?
More I'm doing this.
You're not doing that again?
It's done. No, I'm cool. We're going to go with the flow.
You'll just age gracefully.
Listen, I'm 47. I'm looking good. I look great. I'm boxing. I'm losing a bit of weight. Weight's been the story of my life.
And
by the way, if you don't know who I am, like Dope from Durban, yes, I've had a weight loss journey. The whole of South Africa kind of followed for so many years. But the fact of the matter
Ellen was fat before it was cool.
Yeah, I was yeah. I was big.
It was before the body positivity movement or any of that shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But it's but yeah, so now we're losing weight. And you know what? I want to I'll just get with it.
But I am
getting thinner at the back of my head.
Would you change that?
I've got the new hairspray. I'm trying things.
You're going to try that?
Okay. I'm doing that, yeah.
Just don't do what those old men who don't think anyone can tell do, and they get like
– that black spray thing?
Yeah.
No. I'm not stupid.
And then it looks like they've spray painted their head.
No.
Or worse, the ones who get like their head dyed this jet black, but you can tell they're 79 years old.
And it was sad because remember what happened? We saw what happened. One day we saw Bill Fenter from Ultron, and he had pitch black hair. And the next day he was grey because he decided, obviously his stylist said, listen, dude, now it's time to wash it out.
Yeah, wash it out.
And that's, so when you've got to be careful about colouring your hair. I'm 47, I start colouring now, okay, I'm going to be stuck with this thing until I'm dead.
There's Diana Ross. Take
she
a look.
Looks, she looked great. I mean, isn't that beautiful?
I do think she looks pretty damn good for 81 years old. I just don't know. I've got to ask the question, though. Maybe it goes back to these motivations we were talking about earlier. Why would you do that to yourself?
Dress like that.
You know, yeah, I just think.
Oh, no, the Mets.
But who cares, Al? If I were Diana Ross, she's had this incredible life. She's old as the hills. She should be at home near the fireplace with her slippers on.
I don't get
why an 81-year-old would want to go and dress up like that at the Met Gala.
I think she looks gorgeous. I must tell you.
She looks great.
It's Diana Ross, and now she's doing this world tour. So, I mean, this is the last tour.
I don't understand. So, if I had the career that she's had, I'd been exposed to the amount of attention that she's got. Mm. I had the money that she's got. I got the life and the stories. I would sit at home and I would just laugh quietly to myself.
What did we discuss at the beginning?
That's all I did.
Those four things, fame. And once you're caught by that fame, it's very hard.
You think it still eats at her?
It eats it at most of them.
All right.
It eats it.
Speaking of which, I want to get onto some of these stories in the news because I want to hear what you think of this. South African cinema chain Stir Kinnicore has quietly closed its Gateway and Bedford Square locations as part of broader struggles linked to the low post-pandemic attendance, streaming competition, and operational issues. Some planned closures were halted. Several sites are operating at limited capacity. New Metro has taken over both closed locations, launching new cinema experiences, including a VIP offering in Bedford View. But I don't know how much leg.
I went to see Wicked. It was really great. But let me tell you about it. You're paying 150 Rand for the ticket, okay? And then your popcorn and your drink. So you're in for 300 Rand ahead. So you've got to go family, it's a grand.
And you can go for a very nice dinner for 300 Rand ahead.
It's 1,000 Rand for a family to go off to the movies when I can go and pop my Woolworths popcorn and have my cold drinks and turn on my big screen and watch Netflix and watch Wicked on there. You know what I'm trying to say? And buy it for whatever. So the redundancy is there. We remember back in the day, and I know that Izzy Kirsch has passed away recently when Prime Media took over Stir Kinnicore. And even then they said that the reason that the share price, which I think we both had at the time, of Prime Media dropped because the cinema business was failing 25 years ago. So the fact that New Metro's kept that alive and that Stir Kinnicore's closing down does not surprise me. That being said, there is nothing better than watching in a big screen like that. So there's still a lot of joy in going off to the cinema to watch something epic like Dune 2 or to see something really
special.
Star Wars.
It's different. It's an experience.
And now you can put your chair back and you can sleep and you can give us a way to come and bring your things. I see what New Metro have done and they've made it really great, but it's expensive for families. So would we rather do that or could we just stay at home and watch it and make it a fun night at home and do that? So it's sad, but I think it was coming. No surprises.
The Department of Basic Education is forming the National Education and Training Council, another body that we're going to have people.
It's a DA minister. Huh?
Yeah, but listen to what's happening. So they're going to review and improve South Africa's education standards, including the controversial matric pass mark. So the minister, Siviwe Khwarube, emphasized that any changes will be evidence-based and internationally benchmarked. They'll address issues like teacher development, curriculum delivery, infrastructure, access to learning materials. Despite clarifying that a 30% average doesn't equate to a matric pass, concerns remain about the quality of education and learner outcomes in the country. I've mentioned a gazillion times on this show how we have the lowest levels of literacy and numeracy on the continent.
Fact.
Okay, in Africa.
Now, do you know where I saw this? When we had call centers.
Oh, yeah?
And applicants would come with the matrix and people couldn't write. Literally couldn't write.
Mm.
Couldn't fill in a form.
Yeah. And you think, how did this person pass? What have they been doing for 12 years?
And they had a matric and they had a C for English. And they couldn't write.
You should have literacy and numeracy sorted out by like grade 2. Basic, you know, this is the letter A. This is how you spell
again,
cat.
You know, you said this earlier, but this is the...
You know how I can tell?
How
I can tell how stupid people are.
How?
Just go on social media.
Oh, yeah, how they write. Yeah.
And you see, I mean, listen... You don't have an excuse these days. Maybe once before they would have just said you were stupid and put you in the slow class because we used to have those.
Yeah.
Remember, every grade at school,
you kind of had the
A class and then the D class.
It was the people D class were battlers, the battling.
They struggled.
The ADHD kids.
Sure, whatever. Some of the ADHD kids were fine. They just got a clap every now and then and paid attention.
Yeah.
The point is that... You go on social media. These people can't spell basic words, these days the machine auto completes the word. You don't even have to think.
I write quickly.
You don't have
sometimes,
to look it up.
I must tell you, I could be.
Listen, I'm not talking about mistakes.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. Yeah. People make mistakes as a grammar. You could tell that the word that is meant to be then or whatever. That happens to all of us. I understand. You're in a hurry. Sometimes you do these things. Nobody's proofreading and copywriting.
Yeah.
Their tweets, unless it's some brand that's paying someone to do that, in which case they never say anything interesting anyway.
So you see it a lot, hey, when people write.
Sure, but basic spelling is an indicator of your general literacy.
It gives you
an idea.
So we've spoken about this for years. It's the failure of the ANC.
Yeah.
And one thing that Robert Mugabe got right in Zimbabwe was that he had a good education.
Well, he maintained high standards, which is, I think, what they're talking about here. I mean, if you get 30% for something.
And I'm not a fan of his, by the way.
No, of course, because people are going to attack you for saying that now you're a big
Even
Robert.
Though we shared a birthday.
You did?
Myself.
February, 20th.
Myself, Robert Mugabe, and Nina Simone.
and
George Washington.
You're in good company.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that we figured that out. 30% for anything cannot be considered a pass. If you had a doctor operating on you,
would you allow them to touch your body?
Do you knew that the doctor only knew 30% of the material with regard to that specific problem?
Would you really get into your stomach?
Not a chance.
No. Point done.
You wouldn't let that person drive a piece of heavy machinery that you owned. You wouldn't let them park your car at the shops. You wouldn't let them unpack your trolley.
There are people that only
drop 70% of your stuff.
You're talking about literacy and stuff. But there are a lot of people that are technically minded that can be boilermakers and they can do other things.
Yes, but you still, like, okay, so numeracy. If you're a boilermaker, you have to kind of know dimensions and be able
to write your name.
And figure out calculation.
These are
very, very basic things.
Fact, yeah.
So I applaud the minister and the Department of Education. Now we've got another thing we're paying for, National Education and Training Council.
Can I just say something? We're 30 years into
this. Yeah, how come we haven't figured this shit out yet?
Really?
It's embarrassing.
I'm like, 30 years, really? Now you're going to put a council together to get people to get smarter when books are still not being printed and kids still can't go to school properly? Come on, man. Yeah, stop spending money on crap and sort out. It's just a load of bullshit.
Well,
I don't often swear, but it's boring. You know, Gareth, this is boring. We had this conversation 20 years ago on radio. You and I would have this conversation.
Here's something.
And we had a good
minister. Something that's not boring. There was a guy, I don't know if you know, that at Blenheim Palace, there was a gold toilet that was stolen.
Where?
Do you remember? It was an art exhibition.
Ah,
it was a golden toilet, and it was stolen. So So his name is Frederick Doe, the guy who stole the toilet.
The toilet.
He was spared jail for his minor role in the 2019 theft of the £4.74 million gold toilet from Blenheim Palace. The judge ruled Doe was manipulated by the main culprits, and they gave him a 2-year suspended sentence and community service. So he didn't really get into trouble.
Yeah, that's...
The bigger and more embarrassing the thing is you steal, the less likely you are to go to jail.
What I find fascinating is that an art exhibition, and I go to these momos and these
art... Oh, really?
You, when we travel.
It's quite culturally sophisticated, quite cool. Huh, Al?
And you know, did you see the one that sold for with a banana with a sticky tape
on
the wall?
Yeah, that's outrageous.
That's outrageous. So there's some beautiful stuff, but I got...
Modern art's
revolting.
Do you
want to see a gold toilet in an art exhibition?
Modern art is revolting.
A lot of it is. It's
99.9%.
I must say, I was quite surprised Robbie Williams had an exhibition on. With all his words of rehab created around...
Would you ever buy something like that?
Cassette tapes. Because I was in rehab, yes, I probably would, because I found it quite interesting.
You're the person who's ruining it for the rest of us, because you'll buy that nonsense. And frame it and put it up in your house.
But I think it's because it's Robbie Williams, because he's cool.
Yeah, right.
I still think he's got it.
I just don't think people can do beautiful things anymore. Not to the degree that they used to.
No,
buildings look like shit. Paintings look like shit. Sculptures revolting.
No,
did you see that sculpture they just put up in New York?
But, Gareth, I think there's a lot of beautiful stuff. I think there's also a lot of ugly stuff. But there's still a lot of beautiful work going out there.
Last week, we had the contrast. Okay, you have cameras inside St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, where you have magnificent Bernini sculptures of Constantine on the road to Damascus on horseback. It's an equestrian statue that was made in the 1660s. And it is chiseled out of marble. And it is beautiful. And then there's a bronze statue of some woman they put up in New York. She's a obese. And she looks pissed off, and I think she's got a mobile phone with her, and it's made out of bronze, and it is just so ugly and unattractive.
Okay.
And you compare the Bernini and this modern, angry-looking woman, and you think to yourself, art has gone backwards. It's just either we can't do that anymore because it takes a lifetime to learn those skills.
And it does take a lifetime.
And the person who's able to carve out of marble, and remember, one mistake and you chip that marble in the wrong place and it cleaves and suddenly you've got to start all over again. I just don't think we can do that anymore.
So I have a friend, I haven't seen him in a while, but he's a guy called David Fowler. And I want you to look him up. And he does all pencil work. Mm. But Gareth, if the guys can get some David Fowler stuff up.
F-I-L-E-R?
Fowler. These life-size animal drawings, all done by pencil.
Magnificent.
B1 and B2. You have never seen stuff like that. So there is great artists out there. But again, there's a lot of people that are in the woke. They're all
it's
woke.
Not even woke. I think it's just, we've started to praise mediocrity. And even ugliness. I don't think it's so wokeness. I'm always happy to attack, but I don't know this. This is it.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about how
but
mediocrity.
But I don't know who commissioned the fat lady on a cell phone bronze.
I don't know, but crazy. It's horrific, and it should not be a public statue in an era where we're legitimately and illegitimately complaining about historical statuary. But to me, ugly is being praised. If you look at how people make themselves look when they go on online and they go on the internet and they're on social media and they're trying to look as ugly as possible. I don't understand it. When did we start praising ugliness and stop valuing beauty?
Point taken.
Right?
And I want you to, and you nailed it. You walk through the city of Rome and you are blown away.
Yeah.
And
remember, that's 2,000 years ago, some of it.
We're talking the 500, the Renaissance, the pictures, the basilica. It is mind-blowingly magnificent. Okay, and even when you go through to the Louvre and you see things from ancient Egypt and some of the carvings that they did So it's magnificent stuff. So yeah, I think. But you, I mean, you got some great. You go through some of our wine farms, like what's that one in Franschhoek, Delaer Graaf.
Yeah.
And you see those beautiful.
Some of them put up museums and art galleries.
There's some magnificent stuff out there. So I don't think we're generalizing to say that there's some beautiful work that's still being done.
I just think a lot of the art being produced now is, look, there's the statue. I mean, don't tell me that that's as good.
But who is that?
I don't know. It's some anonymous person, and the artist has been.
What's it for?
I don't know. This artist, I can't remember his name.
In New York City,
yeah? Yeah, has been asked to sculpt for all kinds of public places. London has got some of his works and, you know, in the street somewhere.
Wow.
That is just.
Looks a bit like Nolene.
It doesn't even look, you know, the pose is like, I don't give a shit.
But what is it?
I don't know.
Oh,
okay. I don't understand it at all.
Nah, that's most certainly not going to do well in Rome. We could put that in the Basilica one.
I have a mate who does the same in charcoal. It's insane. He draws those foil balloons in charcoal. There's your artist friend.
Yeah. And he laughs like, that's all by pencil, eh?
That's
pencil. And that's no.
Life size, you
say. Life size. Life size. Isn't that magnificent? Done in different in pencil.
How long does it take him to do one of those?
A year. But you must see tigers, and there's incredible stuff, by the way.
Yeah. I admire that.
Father, yeah.
I really admire people who have that kind of skill.
That's by pencil, eh? Sitting and being a B1 and a B2 and an H2 and an H1 pencil. And to do that's insane. And that's freehand, eh? There's no.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You said it takes a year to do one of those.
Ages. Remember, you're drawing by, it's all by pencil.
Vyasin says that statue we looked at just now isn't even graceful. To capture emotion in art makes it admirable. It looks like Queen Latifah, says Khomotsa.
Yeah, she looks pissed off. angry woman.
This is an interesting point made by Marius. He says, remember that they had a lot of time to do arts centuries ago. Yeah, but what are we spending on our time that's more worth? What are we spending our time on that's more worthwhile than that? If you have a year and you can show one of those pencil drawings, I think that's a year well spent.
Can I disagree with that statement? Because I tell you what, we have convenience like this.
Mm.
So remember, Michelangelo had to get into a horse and cart to go and go off and get and mix paints and go and find out how he's going to get his colors.
Yeah.
And then shame he was hungry, so he had to go and pick an apple. I mean, now we've got a Woolworths. I mean, I'm being serious. Just put this in.
All right.
That's rubbish. Okay. I mean, the kids weren't going to school properly. They were going, you know, there were no cars. You get from A to B quickly. There they were. Cart. Michelangelo goes, sits there 35 years to paint the Sistine Chapel. I mean, it's come on. No. It's about, do you know what it is? It's about mediocrity. It's all about being mediocre. And I think you nailed it, actually. We need to be superb. You know, like that man, that the strongest man in the world now? Isn't that superb?
Yes.
Be superb.
Yes. Be the best at something. Or else don't participate. And do us all a favor. If you're the guy who makes that bronze statue, just get out of statuary. There's something else that you're probably good at.
And also
that's not good.
And the best is also being beautiful.
Yeah. Sure,
so,
of course it is.
So beauty and the best comes together.
You know, beauty for its own sake is worth pursuing.
Yeah.
And that's why so much of the great art that we've gathered over centuries of human creativity is art which exemplifies beauty. I mean, you if you're a religious person, then you believe that beauty is the only answer to evil. You answer evil with beauty. You know, if you think about all the great fairy tales, that evil, whatever evil is personified by a witch or whatever.
Or a rat or whatever.
Or a rat or something. The antidote to that is usually some beautiful princess who, you know, wakes up and everything gets better. So it's the answer on some archetypal level to what we strive for in this world. If you want to combat the bad things, you combat them with beautiful things. So That's why buildings need to be lovely. That's why people need to not put 17 nappy pins into their nose and put their lipstick like this across their face and cut their fringe like that.
I know you want to be, you know, we used to call you goths in the day.
No, but girls who do that, yeah. I think someone once said to them, you're never going to be pretty enough, and now they've given up on trying to be pretty at all.
I mean, you know,
if you've got blue hair, something horrible has happened in your life.
Back
and
in the day,
I wish I could intervene and say to you, just try again. You know, maybe you just had a bad hairdresser.
I know you try to find yourself. I get it. I get what you're doing.
Right.
But beauty does win at the end of the day.
Of course
and
it wins.
Doing things beautifully, doing your work beautifully,
yes.
Making sure the set looks good, our hair looks nice, we look lekker. You can. Diana Ross looks beautiful. She looked beautiful, Gareth. The Met speaks to beauty and woke, by the way.
I just want to read Congo Chris's comment here. When we start erecting statues in places of celebration where the subject matter is mediocrity and vindictiveness, we have truly entered into a society which is in decline.
Yeah, well, he's got a good point.
And Homotso says, art should take your breath away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't disagree with either of those.
Do you know, I went to see a piece in London, in New York. It was terrible. This is going to make you vomit, but I'll tell you. It was a man that had actually taken all his human his feces and had
shit.
Silicone.
It was a shit show. Literally a shit show.
Silicone and built this statue. And then in this exhibition, sits at the top of his shirt and pile of shit that he had actually put into silicone.
Yeah.
And I went to this exhibition and everyone was so, oh, we're in New York City. And I couldn't believe I was watching a pile of shit.
Yeah, that's what you were looking at, a literal pile of shit.
And
someone's got to shake those people.
And then someone's
got to shake them.
You know, someone said, what do you think? And I said, it's a load of shit. I was so horrified. I was horrified.
Well, you mentioned
they were sipping champagne,
so we got
lauding
this.
An artist
okay.
who had to take silicone his own shit in an exhibition.
Let's go back to how we got here, because you mentioned that banana that was
stuck
taped to a wall.
That's just ridiculous.
That sold, even though the banana's probably
frothed.
Rotten
as
can be. It must look horrific. No one wants to put that on their wall right now.
Stupid. That's stupidity. That's just wasting money.
And that's not beautiful. And we've entered a period where the nihilists are in charge. It's almost as if certain people in society have just given up on themselves, and then they're giving up on society. And I think we should get back to a point where we can value beauty. Philokalia, says Dave, the love of beauty. The Orthodox monks knew this. I think that's right. Art is the sum of the four corners of the triangle, an unknown Japanese poet. Four corners. I was walking in the mountains the other day, and I found a piece of rock that is shaped like a pyramid. Now, it's natural.
Yeah. Did you take it?
But I looked at this thing. I did. I looked at this thing, and I just kept looking at it and looking at it and looking at it, thinking, nature produces beauty so effortlessly, right? You look at birds. You look at leaves on trees. Yeah. Anything that microscopically you can investigate will deliver all kinds of fractal patterns and beauty. But it seems that the only creatures that are truly capable of ugliness are humans. Look at what happens when we litter, when we live in filth, when we don't look after our own possessions.
So
look at all the broken down cars, chimney stacks, places like Funnabel Park. The whole place should be steamrolled.
I'll tell you something.
Ugly. Mordor.
And again, coming back to those 49 refugees. Or
you're going to relate it to them?
All damn ugly. They are damn ugly.
No. There was one. There was one girl.
There were toothless wonders.
There was one girl on, who got a lot of attention. Wonders. People were saying, oh, okay, that's
I didn't see that girl. And maybe I'm gay. But I didn't see it.
Gareth, I'm a 47-year-old dad, says Chris. All these tattooed girls, I feel like you are just shaming them. Mother time is not going to be kind. Okay, so Chris, let me be clear.
He didn't shame them. He just said,
I didn't say tattoos.
Tattoos,
I don't think I mentioned tattoos at all.
Some tattoos are beautiful.
I think I said
beautiful.
I said piercings in the nose, blue hair, and straight fringes, and bad makeup. I don't think I mentioned tattoos. But since you bring it up, I don't like them. I don't have any.
I think some are beautiful.
If you want to do it, great. You know what? Tattoos on a beautiful person are beautiful.
Yeah.
Tattoos on an ugly person are ugly.
And you know what I've always said about a tattoo? I want to put, one day put a tattoo of a big rose, an English rose.
You.
It's a rough
on you.
Side. Yeah.
Why?
On my chest, yeah, my heart. Don't believe that. But you know why I didn't do it? Because with my weight loss, would be a bougainvillea. Up and down, up and down, up and down. The damn rose petals would be dropping. So, you know, you've got to have the right body to because you remember what that what you're going to look like. But, I mean, I see beautiful people with beautiful tattoos, and I think tattoos suit people, and I think it's great. But you've got to be careful what it's going to look like one day.
Curious Global says, Chris, come to my Kasi if you want to see an 85-year-old gogo with I Love You Tabo on her upper arm. That time Tabo dumped her before the 1976 Soweto riots. You won't be impressed.
See, here is the thing about it. Do you remember that those old sailors? That's why my father, because the sailors used to.
Sailors and prisoners.
Sailors and prisoners.
Yeah.
And do you remember they used horrible ink? Today we've got a whole other world. I mean, I'm not. Listen,
hell.
If my son said, I want to have a tattoo, I'd be very apprehensive.
Listen.
Because I think it's a permanent
I was never told that you can't get a tattoo.
I was told you can't get a tattoo.
Okay, but...
or an earring.
I mean, my brother has tattoos. Most of my friends have tattoos. It's hard to meet people these days who don't. Not that that's a reason that I'm interested or disinterested in someone. But I do think that it's become a way, again, for a lot of people, not everybody, don't get upset if you got a tattoo, but just like pronouns or like drag or like... all these behaviors that people indulge in, ugly art, whatever it is, it's become a placeholder for a lack of character and personality for some people. Not for everybody. Tattoos have made it easier for some people to make conversation. It's easy for them to be seen as slightly more hardcore or more interesting than they really are.
I'm going to just... There are a lot of people that put things there that...
They mean a lot to them. Now, this is my daughter's name. What, in case you're going to fucking forget?
The date you got married to your wife.
No, what? Why?
You never put your girlfriend's name, you never put your wife's name. You always put your parents and your children's name because you never know keep that in mind. I know somebody that we have a mutual friend that had his girlfriend's name put in the back of his back, and he's no longer with the girlfriend, and he had to have it all taken out. It's fact. And we know that it's a friend of ours. So just so you know that.
That's embarrassing.
No, but I mean, so be careful.
Or if you're going to do it, keep it small.
Well, listen.
You know, keep it small so that you can change it if need be.
But sometimes you put a date that was the date of recovery.
What I don't get.
There's a lot of things that
I think everything.
I don't have one myself. But
everything has an equilibrium, right? And we go back to art and beauty here. But if you're the kind of person who has neck tattoos and face tattoos, you've gone too far.
But then we've got a problem. But then it's dysmorphia, and it actually is you're addicted to it.
It's by the same as people.
By the way, you go look it up. You get people that are become addicted to
tattoos.
Tattoos.
Yeah.
People that become addicted to hair extensions.
Yes.
And they're dysmorphic. So they're same as silicone.
There's that.
So
who's that woman I've been asking you to get on the show, James, for ages and ages?
Has she got?
No, not Gorlock the Destroyer. The woman with the huge, huge, big tits. You got to show Alan a picture of her.
We'll have a look at her.
Unbelievable. You've seen her, Flex? Yeah. Once you see that,
you never turn
around and face the world again. After that, you're ruined.
And that's why, coming back to the South African Style Awards I spoke to you about.
Yeah.
Okay, that are happening this week.
There are going to be a lot of tattooed people there.
No, you're going to see beautiful people. And people that exemplify beauty,
sure.
But remember, it's not a fashion show. It's people that are trailblazers in the industry. But they're going to look beautiful, and people are going to look good.
Yeah,
and
Chris. Some can be, Chris makes be, a good point. Make your statement on a T-shirt so that you can change it.
That's the key. What you write in your body in your 20s, are you going to still think that at your 40s?
Yeah, I mean, I've changed my opinion on a thousand things. If they were tattooed on me.
That's for me. Good point. But you see, that comes with time, doesn't it?
Old tattoos, Vyasin says, were done with cotton, a matchstick, an office pin, and ink.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, that's why the only people who had them done were prisoners and sailors. Because they had all this time on their hands.
Mm. But again, you want to talk about some, I've seen some tattoos and I've been to tattoo parlors that are beautiful artists.
Yes.
I don't want to take away from that. But you've got to make sure what you're putting on yourself, you're going to be stuck with for life. It's hard, it's very painful to have that removed, eh? To extract each of those colors out. And you've got to go through this friend of ours.
You do it with laser?
Yeah, but it took him, you know the pain? And you know the hours and hours and I'm talking about the hours that he had to go for 15 months of treatment. And even then, they couldn't get all that ink out of the back of his back. And you know, it was on his spine. So imagine that laser going in because you've got to pull out you've got to extract the color. So you're sticking needles back in. It's lunacy.
Congo Chris says, Gareth has his TV license number tattooed in the small of his back.
Coming to TV licenses.
Fuck you. I paid mine. I don't want to talk about it.
So have I paid mine. But
TV, you know, you're the only other person I know who's paid yours.
But
cheers.
I had them chasing me now.
Oh, God. They won't leave you alone.
So I got a hold of them. I'm like...
Did you go and see them or did you phone?
I phoned. I'm like, dude, it's firstly a call center that answers its phone, so which is quite good. And it's my father's TV license. Now, my father's dead. So now how is the man meant to pay his TV license? So that the guy's no longer here. He says, yo, we see that you're next to kin or you have a similar name.
They want you to carry on paying it.
I said, but I'm paying for my own TV license. Okay. So now... My father's been gone for 3 years.
And they want
and
you
he
to...
hasn't been watching TV for 3 years. So now the incurred interest and cost of the
and
TV license.
And they want you to keep paying it.
So that's just, listen, go to the records and go, because you're all the part of the government, okay, and find out who's dead and who's alive and who's paying the TV license. Don't pay the damn TV license. In any way, dead or alive, most people.
Only you and I.
You and
seems,
I.
Seems.
Yeah. Okay, and I do it, and I pay my TV license because I sort of get rid of those damn SMSs that come every week. Okay, every
but
day.
But they don't stop.
They don't stop.
Mine is carried on.
And now they're going to put a legal thing in my father. So they said, "Would you please get us copies of the death certificate?"
You're joking. Just
dead
so you
serious.
Can cancel this.
So I can cancel the TV license for 265 rand for the year.
And then next year they'll ask for it again.
I flooked him. I told this man from his head to his toe what I thought about him. I told him and the SABC where to get off. At the moment, I have a few shows on the SABC. We'll talk about that later. I have to pay my TV license because I've got TV shows there. it's like not having DSTV and having Mnet shows. Even though I want to tell you something about DSTV. I posted something on Instagram. I don't often do this. But I am appalled by what has gone on with that whole DSTV.
What are you talking about?
So I'm busy sitting.
This sounds very controversial. I don't know anything about this.
I'm sitting in Cape Town, and it's a Saturday, and I go to Movie Magic Channel 1, and they've got Arthur's Christmas last week.
Which is.
Wait.
A Christmas movie in May.
Then I switch to the next channel. They've got another Christmas movie, Santa Claus. Now,
who they got? Bozo the Clown scheduling stuff.
Hear me now. Please cancel your TV license, your DSTV subscriptions. It's wasting your time. It's wasting your life. And now they deserve to actually.
This is
have
what
it
the straw that
and
broke
I have,
the camel's back.
And I'm telling you,
what pissed
I
you off
please,
is
do never commission me again to do any TV shows for you because you are pathetic.
This is
pathetic.
What this is what drove
pathetic.
You mad.
Pathetic.
A Christmas movie in May is what you
two,
would
two in a.
This is what pissed you off. Not
two
all
different
the
channels.
Bullshit they've commissioned over years. The good shows, the bad.
Christmas in May. It annoyed me to such an extent.
Really, El? This is the thing.
This was the thing, and I posted about it. And I took the screenshots of the two Christmas shows, Movie Magic One and. And,
so,
I want to, and I've got to say
you want to
me,
piss Alan Ford off, show him a Christmas movie in May.
No, I tell you why I'm pissed off. Because we've got people that are hardworking South Africans and talk about, we've spoken about beauty and we've spoken about that being our best and doing our best. And that is not the SABC, that is not a government department, that is a national company that is taking 1,200 rand from people's pockets every single month, okay, and that is not delivering the best. They're delivering crap. There's no more local nice survivors. There's none of this that decommissioned everything except for Carte Blanche. And the fact of the matter is DSEV is going into a sinking pit hole. They deserve to go into one because you know what? They give substandard stuff. Netflix gives you great things at 99 Rand. Come on, Gareth.
Listen.
Come on. Cancel your subscription.
Matthew says, I have DSTV just for the rugby.
Yeah, of course he does. And but
I bootleg just for UFC, says Bitcoin Boots.
But can I ask you guys, if we could find a way to stream rugby, all right, or the SABC could get rugby back, all right, if we did this with the bonus of arts.
Let's just give credit where it's due to, just like you'll criticize a movie, and I can't believe this upsets you so much. It's hilarious that a movie, a Christmas movie in May, upsets the hell out of you.
Two.
Let's give credit, like Super Sports, probably one of the best sports channels in the world. So, even for a non-sports fan, I can say, they know what they're doing.
So can I, so then I should what? I should then buy a Super Sport package only. Right? Right or wrong? Because there are two things.
I didn't even know the movie Magic Channel still existed.
Do you know there are two, there are two things.
Yeah,
my people, listen to me.
Here's Alan Ford with a TV guide.
There are two things that we are, that's working on DSTV at the moment.
What?
Two things. Okay. CakeNet.
Yeah.
Because it speaks to the Afrikaans audience.
Yes.
Okay. So, by the way, if SABC was clever, they'd open Afrikaans channel and take them on. And that's still quality.
No money.
And it's quality production. I know I produce some of the stuff there. Secondly, is sport. But the other 400 channels.
Can.
Are all a load of crap. Seriously.
Can them.
No, but I'm asking you
if
seriously.
If you were in charge, would you can them?
Well, in charge of what? If they become as bad as the SABC is so much better than they are, actually. And the SABC went to pits. So I'm pro-SABC again.
Okay. Well, Mapelo says, last week I paid my TV license as well. My mom's TV had some issues, so I had to buy her a new one.
Yeah,
well,
you see
that's when it happens.
They don't let you. They don't let you.
Yeah. You're all holier than thou, all of you who, like I did for 25 years, I never paid mine. I was very proud. I was
then you
a
went
proud
to go buy a TV.
Lawbreaker, and then I tried to buy a TV. Not even for me, by the way. Someone who works for me. And I'm like, damn it, I'm going to have to pay this thing. Alan is wrong. DSTV has the rights to all wrestling pay-per-views. He's clearly never watched a WWE Royal Rumble, a paragon of culture and entire...
Okay.
An enlightenment.
Guys, it's 1,200 Rand a month to watch wrestling. I mean, I know you love stuff. I get
no, he's
you.
Being sarcastic.
I mean...
Showmax is good when it comes to watching live sport. Netflix
but then,
could be...
But then you can just buy Showmax, right? You can just...
Yeah.
We have Showmax. So I cancelled DSTV. It's cancelled. I canned it. I seriously did.
Over this,
yeah.
Okay.
If you have the disrespect...
call the Santa. Carl says, you know, when Barry Ronger died, we didn't realize the gap he left until another passionate homosexual came along to talk about TV like Alan does.
But seriously, I just can't put it as eloquently as Barry Ronger, but it's crap.
But it's scintillating seven.
But it's terrible.
This is a terrible one. But give it a terrible one. Go in your best Barry Ronger impersonation for those people who never knew who Barry Ronger was. Go do it.
This is a terrible show, and I think we need to take it off with immediate effect. But that being said, I'm right. And it comes back to what you spoke about beauty, right?
Yes.
And art.
Yes.
And the arts are right. TV, television,
and mediocrity.
And mediocrity. Okay. And that's what we're saying. We're saying we don't want that anymore. It's time to up the game. It's up your game. Okay.
Up your fucking game. Don't talk to me like
that. But up.
Now you're sounding like Barry Ronger.
But up your game.
Yeah, I agree.
And what I'm saying to you is, you're not a peristatal. You're a business.
Did you just say peristatal and go?
Yeah.
Did you peristatal?
Yeah.
Because that's actually a good way of every time anyone says anything about the state-owned enterprises, peristatal. You should go.
I mean. I'm saying to you that we expect for 1,200 Rand a month.
Is that what you pay for that?
That's what you pay for DSTV. It's insane.
Well, no, don't have it.
But you know what, Gareth?
I have a TV license. I don't watch any TV.
And you just to get rid of
I've got the opposite problem to everyone else.
No. Well, I'll tell you something. There is the SABC, if we can get the SABC on track, we could do some great things.
I agree with you.
I promise you.
It would be nice.
We said that's a gold mine that needs to be redug. Like they did in Crown Mine.
Speaking of down the mine, DSTV, down in the mines, says Azalea. That's where they should be. They should be working in the mines, those people. Yeah.
And do you know the bosses all sit in Dubai?
Do they?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
They sit in Dubai and they can join. They're basically like Guptas. Buffoons. Buffoonery. The whole thing's buffoonery. And I'm very sorry. It's just...
We've had to wait till the end of the show for you to drop all the bombs.
Yeah, those are good bombs to drop. Yeah. You know? I mean, we've got Sumizis. They do quite well, a couple of those Real Housewife things. And but at the end of the day, really?
What's Sumizi doing? I don't even know.
He had a show on and Bonang had a show. That Mzansi doesn't do too badly. But at the end of the day, you've got three channels. You've got Supersport, you've got CakeNet, and you got maybe Mzansi channel. Otherwise, the rest is gone to a pile. You might as well call it No Net, not Mnet. Zero. It's gone to the MNO.
It's O-Net. That's very cross.
No, it's ridiculous. Because you know what, Gareth? You were on those TV stations. I created great content for those TV stations and for those channels.
Conker Chris says, instead of a Barry Ronger review, we should have an Allen analysis. There's a gap in the market.
Do you know, I want to do a whinge thing. We should do a whinge. Because there are other things.
How would that go, Al? Tell me, give me the pitch.
We'll pitch you out. Because potholes are weak. That's a weak pitch.
No, no one cares about that.
DSTV is worth a good run in. I mean, like bad service and airplanes. I don't understand how planes... Can I just ask you a question? How is it that you get to your hotel and at 3 o'clock if your room's not ready, it's like really appalling. But when you're delayed by 10 hours, it's okay to just sit in the airport and lie on a couch like this and crawl in a hole. I mean, why is that acceptable?
And
why is it that we accept that? Why is it that the hotel does not have our hotel room ready? We throw a fit, but we have to accept sitting in the airport waiting 5 hours.
If you have a tantrum in the airport about your late plane, they'll just take you off the flight. But then you're in even worse position.
So maybe it's time to start to analyze things that need to be, because we don't have Isabel Jones anymore, you see. Because she was really good. We need the Barrys.
Do you guys even know who Isabel Jones was?
We need
Flex, James? Okay. Look her up.
SABC's down in the mine.
No. It's a thing that we have like this meme about down in the mines.
Okay.
Do you not know who Isabel Jones was?
Isabel Jones
was an old lady.
Consumer.
Who used to... She was terrifying. She would go to a supermarket and find out that their meat wasn't A-grade and they'd been lying about it.
She was a consumer. Wendy Nola does it now.
Okay, but she used to do all of those reviews. She'd tell someone if they had a bad bakery or if...
I mean, I'll tell you a story. I was listening to 702 and Honda... The white paint came off all this certain model of car.
Now, Isabel Jones would never have put up.
Okay, now let me tell you what happened. It took them writing to Wendy Nola for the Honda to acknowledge that these cars had a paint defect.
A consumer watchdog. Yeah, okay. That's what you need.
What happened is the next ad they play is Honda sponsoring the Polo or the Walk the Talk or whatever it was. And I'm thinking, you're putting adverts and yet you guys can't fix the paint. And this poor, it was a young student that bought her own car in the Western Cape that had paint problems. And Chris is right. We need to start to talk about mediocrity. Expose it. Not in a carte blanche, a Debbie chasing crooks type of way. But like to start to kind of say, you know what, because we don't give people... You remember back in the day when Victor Strugo wrote about a restaurant that was crap? The people used to, a restaurant would close down because the kitchens were dirty and things like that.
Because you had honest people whose opinion was valued. But we have them now. They're called influencers, Al.
Yeah, but they are getting paid to talk crap and say good things about things. We weren't paid, Gareth. If something was bad, it was bad. You know that. When something was, if a hotel room was dirty sheets and they hadn't changed the sheets, you talk about it.
You know, did you ever go to a hotel that had dirty sheets?
Do you know what I had once? I'll tell you what I did have.
I can't imagine that.
I went to a hotel in Durban.
Yeah?
Okay. And the hotel as we opened the curtains, had lipstick marks and the knees and against the window.
There'd been some action there the night
and
before.
Then around the corner were lots of hookers. It was in Musgrave. And it was a four or five star hotel. And this was a corporate hotel. Had these, and I said,
handprints.
I called the manager. I said, can you call the GM? I said, can you please explain to me? Firstly, I'm happy they had a good time the night before in the room. But how long has this lipstick and this thing, and these handprints and this knee, the knee print and the handprints been on this, and the lipstick print smeared against the, yeah.
All right. I can't believe we've talked shit for 2 hours. All right, everybody.
But yeah.
Thank you very much, Alan Ford. There's Isabel Jones. There she is.
Back in the day, she was
fucking terrifying. Yeah. Let me tell you, if she came marching into your shop, or your dealership, or your restaurant, or whatever, you were in big trouble.
But it's time that we spoke about beauty. We spoke about great things.
I love the way we end the show.
We're going to end on this.
Isabel Jones.
We're going to end on this one. Is that it's time that we start to expose mediocrity, and we can't accept mediocrity any longer.
Well, Congo Chris says that is the second time someone on the show has said I'm right. I'm now a bastion of truth. For the show. That's correct.
Go, Congo Chris.
Yeah. All right. Amanda. Thanks, everybody. That's all we got time for today. See you
it's
Friday.
Great being here, by the way.
Thanks, L. Lovely to see you. Bye.